With more than 2 million downloads, this is your number one source for true crime coverage in America. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers Podcast, Murder in the Morning.
Trial of Robert Tellis. It continues to get more and more interesting, and his facial expressions get more and more dramatic by the day.
Don't they kind of drive you a little nuts?
Yeah, they do. It's he drives me a little nuts. Just there's a I want to punch that guy feeling about him.
Where that's honestly, that's how I feel too. I want to be sympathetic that, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty, but I feel like he's just overdoing the facial expressions.
Who's that lunatic politician that got kicked out of Congress for basically lying about everything?
George Santos.
George Santos. He kind of, in some ways, reminds me of George Santos. Yeah. Of like, this is a very toxic, dangerous, delusional human being that kind of believes his own shit, I think.
I would agree with that.
But has a lot of, but also knows the darkness at which they're operating. That's just kind of where I get out of this guy. He was the former Clark County public administrator. He's accused of fatally stabbing investigative journalist Jeff Gurman in 2022. It's now entered its fifth day with critical evidence and testimony revealing the fraught relationship between the two men. On Thursday, prosecutors highlighted evidence found at Tellis's home, which they believe ties him to the crime. Las Vegas Metropolitan Police detectives testified about the search that uncovered a hat and a pair of shoes matching those seen on the suspect in the security footage on the day of Gurman's murder. Notably, the shoes were partially destroyed and the hat had been cut up, suggesting an attempt to conceal evidence. A really shitty attempt to conceal evidence. Defense attorney Robert Dreskovich questioned the integrity of the evidence collection process, arguing that the search was poorly organized and potentially compromised by unauthorized access to key areas. He also scrutinized the amount of blood found at the crime scene, questioning the procedures followed by medical examiners. Friday's proceedings opened with forensic scientist Antisita Barton, who testified about her analysis of fingernail samples from Gurman's body, confirming they tested positive for blood. However, Barton noted that no DNA samples from Robert Tellis were present during her examination. Dreskovich's cross-examination focused on whether the samples were handled properly to ensure their integrity. Forensic scientist Melanie Kalanovich then took the stand, reconfirming that blood was found on items recovered from Tellis's residence, including the shoes and the handle of a pair of scissors. However, pieces of the hat tested negative for blood. Dreskovich pressed Kalanovich on the potential for false positives in blood tests, to which he acknowledged that substances like rust and animal blood could create misleading results. Forensic scientist Kimberly Danberger provided crucial testimony linking Tellis to the crime scene through DNA evidence. She revealed that DNA samples from Gurman's right-hand fingernail contained a mixture of profiles, including one that matched Tellis. The prosecution used the evidence to further connect Tellis to the murder, but the defense noted that Tellis's DNA was not found on Gurman's clothing or in other critical areas, such as a duffel bag believed to have been used by the suspect himself. Let's take a listen to this testimony here. Stand by. It's turning up.
Can you kind of explain why DNA is reported out as a probability, or you know, what, give us some context for that number?
So this number is what we call a likelihood ratio statistic, and it's the probability of the evidence. So it all relates back to the evidence. So the probability of the evidence, which is that swabbing from the right-hand fingernail clippings, compared to two different competing scenarios. So scenario one is that this DNA profile came from Jeffrey Gurman and Robert Tellis. And scenario two is that this profile came from Jeffrey Gurman and someone unknown, random, I don't have another buccal swab kit for them. So the probability of that evidence, given these two competing hypotheses, is the statistic. So there's more weight for the hypotheses or the scenario that it's Robert Tellis and Jeffrey Gurman versus Jeffrey Gurman and an unknown random contributor.
Testimony from Daniel Kulin, a former colleague of Gurman, shed light on the public record request that may have exacerbated tensions between Tellis and Gurman. Kulin recounted how Gurman had requested communications between Tellis and Robert Lee Kennett, an estate coordinator in Tellis's office, weeks before the killing. Tellis was reportedly notified of the request, which were routine in Gurman's investigative work. Robert Lee Kennett provided gripping testimony about her interactions with TELUS following Gurman's death. She recalled receiving notification from the public information request regarding her communications with TELUS, but stated she wasn't initially concerned. However, she was deeply shaken up of learning of Gurman's death over Labor Day weekend, saying that it freaked me out. Let's take a listen to that.
A text from you, right?
Yes.
And it's from 9/4/2022, and it looks like it's at a little after 7 a.m., and right. you're saying, oh, my goodness, Jeff Gurman died.
Yep.
And it looks, just from the punctuation, like that was surprising to you.
Absolutely.
And I think you said that you sent screenshots of the
of that article.
This is on page 4. It looks like there's a communication on 9/4, same date, and it looks like you send a screenshot to Mr. TELUS of like communication on social media. Is that fair?
Yep.
And the second message appears to be we have a bigger version of it, but a screenshot of the article.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yes?
Sure, yes.
Okay.
I can't see it, so.
Yeah, I actually have a bigger version. I'm one step behind you. So does that look like a readable version of the screenshot of what you saw on social media about Mr. Gurman's death?
Sure.
And then?
Yeah, that's what I thought I sent, yes.
Okay. So those were sent to Mr. TELUS?
Correct.
Let me continue reading there. Text messages between Lee Kennett and TELUS shown in court revealed her growing alarm. In one message, she urged TELUS, Rob, WTF, please do not be driving your Yukon around for a while. TELUS responded, whoa, that's crazy. When Lee Kennett asked if the Yukon matched the suspect vehicle, TELUS confirmed it was similar, if not the same. Despite her continued concerns, TELUS maintained, I'm fine, I didn't do it, but acknowledged that his vehicle closely resembled the one seen in connection with the actual crime itself. Let's take a listen
Yikes.
To that.
What had you seen that made you send that message to him?
I think what everyone else saw, that Yukon in the photos.
You mean the...
Or in media?
Yeah, the media messages that
right.
Metro sent out.
Right.
Of a car associated with Mr. Gurman's murder.
Correct.
And had you known Mr. TELUS to have a similar Yukon?
He had driven it to work a few times. I believe it's his wife's vehicle.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you're kind of like, whoa, don't drive your car around
yeah.
for a while.
Yes.
And then his response is... That's crazy.
Okay, yes.
Is that fair?
Yep.
And it looks like, this is page 37, you say,
yep.
Please tell me your Yukon is not that color.
Correct.
You wrote that.
Correct.
And this is page 38. He says... It is similar, if not the same?
Correct.
And you ask him another detail. Do you have racks on yours, too, meaning the...
Right, from the photos, right.
Okay. And this is page 39. What do you say?
Please tell me you don't.
Okay, and then...
I'm freaking out, Rob. Mm-hmm.
And are you starting to get nervous?
Yeah, I'm starting to suspect.
Okay, and then this is page 40. He says, yeah, I think so. It's fine. I didn't do it.
Right.
And then you ask another question about his tires.
Right. You don't have special rims, do you?
Okay. And then you, this is page 41, tell him, I am, and then...
Very worried.
Yeah. That'd be a fun conversation to have with your friend.
What would you do if you had Well, you and I have had some crazy, crazy coworkers in our time in radio.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're sitting there and you see a press release of some sort about a supposed murder suspect's car. And you're like, oh my God, I parked next to that car the other day, you know, and you start seeing things that you recognize. We all know what our coworkers' gait looks like when they walk. We've seen them every day. What would you do? I mean, would you send those kinds of text messages like, Tony, what the fuck? What the fuck? Please don't be driving your Yukon around a while, you know, for a while.
No.
Or would you just sit quietly?
I would call the police. Would be like, I got some information here you got to take a look at. This is not looking good.
So you'd turn me in is what you're saying.
Turn you in a fucking heartbeat.
Good to know. I love you too. Thanks, asshole.
I don't know. I mean, it's, I mean, if it was like something like this, where you like stab somebody in the middle of their yard and I think, yeah something like that, I kind of have to, you know, especially if it's like a reporter or something. I guess domestic may be a little different. that I may be a little more quiet on. Like, I don't know.
Good to know.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. The prosecution questioned Lee Kennett about her installation, installation of the Trillion app, which allows text messages to disappear. She confirmed that Telus had asked her to install the app. The court took a recess before the defense's cross-examination. Upon reconvening, Draskovich questioned Lee Kennett about the turmoil in the public administrator's office, focusing on challenges Telus had implemented that disrupted existing practices, particularly concerning third-party vendors profiting from deceased individuals' properties. Lee Kennett agreed that Telus had upset the apple cart by challenging these practices. When asked if she was concerned about the public records request filed by Gurman, Lee Kennett stated she worried primarily about vendors discovering the office's dissatisfaction with them or that confidential information might be exposed. She also testified that she did not initially identify Telus as a suspect in the police video and did not recognize his gait. Moreover, she emphasized that Telus never admitted to being involved in Gurman's death. So jeez. There you go.
He just feels so guilty to me. Just, I look at him and I, between the cut up hat, the cut up sneaker, him walking, I just.
The whole thing. I mean, it's him on the camera. The photo, I mean, it's him. And you see him going to the side of the yard and killing Gurman. I mean, this just doesn't have, I don't know. I mean, it's a case where I don't see where there's any question really about any of this. But
it makes me wonder why we're even doing a trial. I mean, everybody has a right to a trial, but.
Because he's a narcissist and he's saying he didn't do it. And he thinks he's smart enough, smarter than everybody else in the room. And that's why we're having a trial.
But he's not. He's an attorney and he didn't get rid of the evidence. He wore a huge, hi, look at me outfit to go kill somebody that he had a fight with publicly.
Exactly. Exactly. No one said he's smart.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.